thanks for watching this show. You're watching Notepad, and I'm your host, Ibrahim Sani. Today, our conversation shall revolve around Hi-Tech Padu Berhad. Next year, they are celebrating their 25th anniversary, and what started as a PNB IT division has grown to become a public listed company, and it has grown from strength to strength. Of course, joining me is Hi-Tech Executive Vice President, Salmi Nadia, or Muhammad Hilmi. She's in charge of a few divisions inside Hi-Tech Padu, but the one that we shall be focusing on is, of course, the recent tie-up that they had in Indonesia. Hi-Tech has strengthened its presence in Indonesia with the establishment of the relationship with PT Desertec Nusantara to provide a Sharia-compliance cooperative BMT system that they will be discussing at length here. Nadia, again, thanks very much for joining us for this particular show. Let's talk a little bit, before we jump into Indonesia, let's talk a little bit about what Hi-Tech does and what your core competencies are.
Right, thank you, Ibrahim. Hi-Tech Padu has been in the industry for the past 25 years, as you said, before we started as a PNB IT. And since then, we have grown from 200 staff to 1,000 today. And today we are focusing on public sector providing system integration, system application, and also managed services. And on top of that, we also have various companies, of which we diversified into automotive, manufacturing, and also digital business.
And of course, your client revolves not just from small organizations, but also governmental contracts as well.
We started with public sector at government agencies, but now we have moved into GLCs, commercial, and not forgetting the international market.
Okay, so let's talk about some of the international market. Indonesia will jump very much later.
Okay.
What are the international markets that you guys are operating in?
Right. I think the diversification of Hi-Tech Padu Berhad has been, I think, for the past 10 years since the inception. And today, we have been in Abu Dhabi, Australia, Indonesia. We also have another company in Indonesia before. And United Kingdom, and Myanmar, and
so the kind of solutions that you roll out for these different markets, are these the same solutions?
No. Because our strength is actually IT. So we move into this market as an IT provider. But in each of the countries, we have a good partnership. And there we focus on various sectors and providing different things. But at the backbone is still the IT system.
So for instance, you're in the Middle East. What kind of solutions are you rolling out there?
We provide the automotive system, of which we have partnered with Asaid to provide the automotive solutions that I think at the last 5 years, if I'm not mistaken.
Okay, and to give a flavor of the differentiation that you guys do in international markets, the kind of solutions that you're rolling out in the UK as well as Australia, how are they different?
In the UK and Australia is not that different, because also we move into automotive, focusing on claim and workshop management system. There we have our subsidiary companies, and both companies are still going strong.
Okay, bringing things back closer to home, Hi-Tech is indeed going from strength to strength. Would you say that business have slowed down over the past few years, domestically?
Domestically, it depends on the needs, actually, because in Malaysia, it's a small, the market is small, and the players are many. And if you talk about IT, there's a lot of IT players out there providing some of it are similar things, but the differentiation is based on the services, and it's based on the value added solutions that you can provide to the customers. So if I say that whether or not it's slowing down, the needs for IT is there, and the growth is also there. It's just what you want to offer, and it has moved from what the customer wants to what customer actually needs to serve their customer better.
What do you mean by that? Let's deep dive. What's the difference in what customer wants and what they need? They don't know what they need, or what?
Right. If we go back to 20 years ago, As an IT company, we provide, we are the order takers. We give what the customer wants, and we just provide the list of things that they have actually listed for us. And we, as an IT company, we develop the system. But today, it's different because the end user or the end customer like us are the one who be using the system. So they are the one who dictates or to choose which solutions or which customer that can provide better services to them. So we as IT company, as the enabler to our customers, will have to advise our customer what are actually the market needs currently. So we have to make we have to be aware of the current trend and not giving what are the things that the customer don't actually require.
So I see what you're trying to say is there's a lot of value add that you bring to the relationship with your customer. There's a lot of customer engagement in terms
of
improving what they can
use.
Yeah. So basically you're saying you're moving towards consultancy as well.
Yeah.
Okay, and with that, there would be some challenges as well because there's a lot of client hunting instead of just rolling out products.
Exactly, yeah.
So what would be some of the focus areas that you normally tell your customers in this day and age?
Right. Some of the customers that we have that has been with us, some of it are more than 10 years, I would say, because we continue giving the services that we started as application development and supported by all the services that they require. But because we have been with the customers for so long, then we actually become their customer as well. Mm. So in the consultancy that we provide to them, we actually advise based on the current needs that we as a customer for their services, what are the challenges that we feel that our customer should address in servicing them, because today it's an open market. Not only we don't have to go to a specific customer to get the services that we want, we can actually go beyond that. So to give the edge, what is the edge is what is we have to advise and we have to offer to our customers, and therefore we are moving from just providing the system to providing the consultancy and also the value-added services that we provide around the core system as well.
Two general themes that has taken place right now is cybersecurity, mm-hmm. as well as cloud.
Yeah.
Do you think that these two are your stronger points for Hitepadu, or it's something that you guys need to work on?
We are among the main players in Malaysia. And we do consider ourselves as one of the strong contender. But of course, if we remain silent and just be complacent, of course, we won't be there.
That's why you're here. You're not silent. Yeah. You don't need to talk
exactly.
about the business.
Yeah. So yeah, I think in terms of the cloud and cybersecurity, especially cybersecurity, today when we talk about threat, when you talk about malware, it's everywhere. And to move into cloud, the biggest resistance that we have is actually whether or not the cloud is safe, whether or not our data is safe. And therefore, we, as a provider for both services, we keep on improving and giving the best services and solutions that we have to our customers so that they are confident to use our own Awan High-Tech Cloud. In their daily business, yeah.
It's important to note that some of your clients are government agencies mm-hmm. that handle sensitive data.
Exactly.
My data is there as well. Mm-hmm. I'm a Malaysian. There's mm-hmm. a lot of national security needed mm-hmm. To protect the security that you guys have mm-hmm. for your clients. Does this drive cost up because you need to ensure that multiple, levels of security is present?
When you talk about the security and the level of security that you have to provide to protect this data, I think all of the providers that are providing the same services will do the same thing.
Yeah.
So there's in terms of the age, whether or not the price would drive up the services, it wouldn't be borne by the customers, I would say, but it will be done by the providers like us. Of course, when it comes to whether or not you need to provide the best, or we need to provide the right
solution. Yeah, for clients, yeah.
It requires investments, but the investments will somehow give a return with the total solutions that you actually provide, because you don't just give a security, for yeah. example. You will provide something more than that.
Yeah.
So,
yeah.
whether or not
it's not parcel yeah. project based,
whether or not it's driving up the cost, is not an issue for an IT company like us.
Okay, yeah. I will take a short break. When we come back, we'll continue our discussion with Hi-Tech Padu Berhad. Don't go anywhere. Thanks for staying on with us. You're watching Notepad. I'm your host, Ibrahim Sani. Joining me is the Executive Vice President of Hi-Tech Padu Berhad, Salmi Nadia, Muhammad Hilmi, discussing about the ongoings of the company, and more specifically, we want to talk about Indonesia. And of course, very recently, Nadia, Hi-Tech has entered the Indonesian market. Well, I guess you are already in the Indonesian market. I guess this is you solidifying your position there. By introducing a Shariah-compliant cooperative, Baitulmal Wat Tamwil, or BMT system, and this is to be deployed in the Indonesia's cooperative sector. Let's talk a little bit about this solution right now. Why is this, I guess, important for you to be rolled out in that market right now?
Right. First of all, let me just give a brief description of the company that we just established in Indonesia. The company is called Desatech Nusantara, and we have been eyeing, or we have been working for this for the past 1 year. Before we actually decide to go into Indonesia for the second time and to establish a new company, we have done a thorough market research on what do we require to get into Indonesia and to make it work. Because before this, our presence in Indonesia is purely investments. And we have our subsidiary companies, of which we let the companies run on its own, doing printing. And now we are moving into the IT part. So when our partner approached us, asking whether or not we can provide a Shariah compliant cooperative system, of course we say we can, because that's our forte. And what is the relationship and the strength of Hi-Tech when it comes to cooperative? I think if we talk about Malaysia, we are not known for being provider for a cooperative system. But we see that our partner sees us as the technology provider or the enabler for them to actually achieve their mission to stimulate the desa economic growth.
Okay, there's a nationwide program right now in Indonesia called Gerakan Desa Emas.
Exactly, yeah.
How does that tie up with that?
Yeah, so we were approached by this party actually, the Gerakan Desa Emas. So Gerakan Desa Emas is a national program of which their objective is to provide, to stimulate the growth of the villages. As you know, that the population in Indonesia is more than 200 million, and almost half of them are unbankable, meaning that they don't have a bank account and they don't own a bank.
So, you're talking about, okay, of course, to give some color, there's the banked society, which is about 30% in Indonesia, and 20% is underbanked, and we're looking at about 50% of Indonesia being unbankable, and this constitutes about 100 million people.
Yeah.
Of course, this is very reflective of the Southeast Asian population. We're talking about 400 million.
Mm-hmm.
200 million are considered unbankable.
Mm-hmm.
And that's bizarre for me, mm-hmm. because, you know, when you look at Malaysia, for instance, it doesn't reflect that kind of number.
Yeah.
But only in Malaysia and Singapore do we see a single digit number for unbankable.
Exactly.
More than 95% for Malaysia and Singapore is actually banked or underbanked.
Yeah.
But we're just the two outliers in the market. Mm-hmm. Myanmar, Philippines, Indonesia, Thailand. Mm-hmm. They have a significant number of underbanked.
Yeah.
So this GDE, mm-hmm. how does it aim to address that particular conundrum?
Right. So in all these areas that the banks are, the main reason why the population, the half of the population is unbankable is because it's difficult or it's too far for the bank to reach
accessibility.
Them.
Is
yeah, accessibility.
Problem. Yes.
So they work in cooperatives. They establish a co-op for all the village. There's about 75,000 village across Indonesia, and we have around more than 100,000 cooperative in Indonesia as well, and therefore these unbankable population, they go towards the cooperative instead of the normal bank.
Okay.
But
we're still in the analog phase, meaning that they don't have a phone, they can't
they
get
do
online.
Actually, because if you might be surprised how fast growing Indonesia when it comes to telephones, when it comes to the new things.
So why do they need a co-op if they have access to the internet?
Because they are more into this technology, but the only limitation that they have is it's a bit far for them to go to the town center to get to the bank and to save their to keep their money and do withdrawal, so they prefer to keep it at home. But with this cooperative, they actually have a small setup for each of the village, and that's where they do the transaction. They transact, they save and they withdraw the money per se. It's all being done on manual basis, of which it's safe for them, but they need a system to integrate with all the cooperative all across Indonesia.
So PT Desa Nusantara is aimed at this IT service provider mm-hmm. that will tie in all this cooperative.
Yeah.
In rolling out Gerakan Desa Emas.
Yeah, because the object that we have a two-pronged objective when it comes to this initiative. Number one is
which initiative? The growth of Desa Nusantara.
Yeah, yeah.
Or GDE.
The growth of Desa Nusantara.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay. What are the objectives?
Number one is to encourage those who are not enrolled into any cooperative and doesn't have banks to start going to the cooperative first, so that their money is secured somewhere.
Okay, so right? Moving them from unbankable to underbanked.
Exactly.
Okay.
Once we have moved them, then we will start to integrate some other solutions around the core system, of which they can start applying loan, doing transaction, doing...
Financial access.
Exactly. But to convert them from being unbankable and not being part of any of the system to the system is one of the core main. Number two is for those who already have or sign up with the cooperative, now they can do online transaction, because like I said before, although they don't have or they are not enrolled to sign up to any of the banks or co-op, but they are quite advanced in terms of they are quite receptive when it comes to new technology, new things, and I think compared to Malaysia, they are much more receptive when it comes to new things. Like for example, e-wallet. E-wallet has been the second largest transaction when it comes to second after online bank online transaction. So I would say that the moment we move this group into the online online market, then that's where the company the growth, and it will stimulate the economy, and that's where everybody in Indonesia will start generating and start doing the transition and keep the economy going.
What was interesting in my recent briefing by Bain & Co. very recently, they have just published a particular report that talks about trust mm-hmm. In countries in Southeast Asia mm-hmm. between what they call traditional financial services mm-hmm. as well as digital financial services.
Right, right.
In Malaysia and Singapore, it's about the same. Mm-hmm. The trust or distrust, if you may, it's about the same between original and digital. Mm-hmm. But for Indonesia, it's extremely different. Mm-hmm. They have a high distrust for original financial or classical financial institutions, but a very high trust level towards digital financial services.
Yep.
I don't know what's driving the trust factor for digital, but perhaps this would be one of the reasons why they feel that they can bank more with digital financial services.
Exactly, yeah.
The problem here is that, I mean, everything's good, everything's on the upside. The problem is on execution and rolling out. That's always the case. Mm-hmm. And when you talk about peripheral areas in Indonesia, we're talking about, I don't know, a gajillion number of islands, far-flung, nobody lives in Jakarta, everybody lives everywhere.
So,
how do you plan to ensure that Desa Nusantara gets what they need in far-flung areas in Indonesia?
Right. So that's the reason why when we first were approached by PT Kirana Investama to get ourselves involved with the project, that is also one of our prime concern when it comes to rolling out, because if the banks are not keen on doing it, then why should we? But the thing is that...
Okay, hang on. This is the first time you're mentioning PT Kirana Investama.
Yeah.
Just to provide some information, background information.
Okay.
PT Kirana and Hi-Tech Padu jointly owns roughly about 50-50 Desa Nusantara.
Exactly.
So you're talking to your co-investor here.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So, because we believe that in this JV, our role is to provide the system, provide the training, and provide the implementation rollout for the whole of
Desa Nusantara. Okay.
So when we first approached by PT Kirana, we had a bit of discussion of how do we best do it. So we decided to approach one big cooperative that under that cooperative they have another 12,000 small.
So it's like an umbrella cooperative.
So that's where we're gonna start, and the location that we're gonna go is somewhere that it's doable, it's approachable. We are not going talking big. We are not talking about going the whole of Indonesia and going where areas that we can't go, but when we start with this cooperative, that's where we will start planning on reaching the ones that quite far from our reach, and that's where our partners' role becomes very, very important.
Yeah, but you need to make sure everything works first.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
I will take a short break before we continue our conversation, or we finish our conversation with Hi-Tech Padu. Don't go anywhere. You're watching Notepad. I am with Hi-Tech Padu. Joining me is their EVP, Salmi Nadia Mohamed Hilmi. So Nadia, we continue our conversation with this rollout in Indonesia. It's a big deal, not just for you guys, but for Indonesia per se, because they're trying to move a significant portion of their population, which is about 50% or 100 million human beings, quite honestly, onto another segment, which is from being unbankable to underbank, at the very least, before you can be bankable.
Yeah.
So you're looking at 100 million potential addressable market, am I correct?
That is the potential, yeah. But for now, for our implementation, we don't aim that big, because as you said just now, we have to make it work, and we'll start from there.
Okay,
yeah.
So what would be some of the challenges moving forward, other than the, you know, execution on the ground?
The challenge,
which is a big challenge.
The challenges moving forward is actually implementation, because we had our first appearance in ICEF last 2 weeks in Jakarta.
Okay, what is ICEF?
ICEF is International Sharia.
So it's a Sharia conference.
Yeah, exactly.
Okay.
Yeah.
All right.
And during at that point of time, we first make our first appearance there, and the take up rate on the system that we provide was very convincing.
Okay.
And some of them are not within our project plan implementation, so we can see that the order is there. It's just that we have to make it work. So for me, I would say,
isn't that a good problem to have? A big order book?
It's a good problem. It's just that to meet the expectation, because everybody wants it as soon as possible. So to roll out as fast and to make it work at the same time is not easy.
Okay, and finally, we're heading towards the final weeks of 2020. What would be some of the key highlights that you want to share for 2020 moving forward for Hi-Tech Padu Berhad?
Right. So, Hi-Tech has moved from a system integrator and a system developer towards going being with the customer together with them in achieving their mission and vision. And moving forward for Hi-Tech into 2020, I would say is to continue the journey, because we have to change the perception. That is the biggest challenge for us, to change the perception of the customer, because they see us just an SI company, and we want to change.
What is an SI?
System integrator.
Okay, and what does that mean?
It means that we just do projects. Okay. We just do application.
Right. So that is the problem that, I guess, the perception that you claim.
Yeah, but we are also into the area of giving other value-added products and going to the mass market as well. So to change the perception and to prove ourselves is our next challenge moving forward into 2020.
How big of a deal is this Indonesia project? Mm-hmm. Is this where the growth lies for Hi-Tech?
Part of it, because as you know, in Hi-Tech Padu Berhad, we have more than 15 companies operating under the umbrella. And the investment in Indonesia is one of it, but of course we are also banking into other initiatives that we look forward to in 2020 and moving forward.
All right, fantastic. I wish you all the best.
Thank you so
that
much.
That was my conversation with Hi-Tech Padu EVP Sami Nadia Mamahilmi. If you've missed any part of this interview, just head on to astron.com. You can watch the interviews there. Just look for Notepad. Of course, you can also watch this interview on your mobile devices. Just download the Astronomy app. It's a freshly redesigned and reinvigorated app. Just get it from the Google Play and the Apple App Store. Until then, thanks very much for watching, and goodbye.